Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the meditations, hearts, and responses of all those who hear, that this might be a time when we see the opportunity to grow and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's passage is regarded by many as a difficult one, and I understand why. Jesus doesn't really come off in a good light. But you know, I think this passage, at least one of the things it is about growing. And to me, in some ways, Jesus comes off in a brilliant light, a wonderful light. He is here as much as he always is, someone to follow. Do you grow? When do you experience growth? I wonder, is it when you go off by yourself and think deep thoughts about how good you are? Probably not. Is it when you gather in a community, whether somewhere locally or online, and you find a community of everyone who agrees with you and everything you say? Is that where you grow? Probably not. I know for me, I grow most in the presence of community. It may be one person, it may be a group, it may be a formal community educational setting where there is a teacher who comes with gifts and wisdom, and I learn, not always unquestioningly, I hope, or it can be a group of friends or strangers where, again, you come into a place of different opinions and different gifts, and you encounter things you hadn't heard before. Some you might disagree with, some you had never considered. And it is in that place of community, whether it be with one person or with many, that you grow. It's hard to grow when the world is only bounded by what you know and by whom you accept. And so we see Jesus coming into the presence of a different community. One of the places where I find myself growing is a breakfast place in Mississauga. I meet with a friend there about every other week, sometimes not quite that. A funeral will come up and we can't meet, but he and I have been meeting for about 24 years now. Hard to believe how quickly that happens. He's a Presbyterian minister. We first encountered each other in a ministerial in Hamilton. We were both fairly new to our congregations, and somehow we hit it off and agreed to have lunch at another time, and we've kept on doing it. It's shifted to breakfast now. And we meet in Mississauga because it's halfway between where he is now in Hamilton and where I am in Etobicoke. And he is the kind of friend who is honest enough and vulnerable enough to continue to confront me and continue to be open to me, so that even after 24 years, we still challenge one another and grow. And it isn't just about learning something. It can be those days when you come depressed and dispirited, those days when you come grieving. You're not given the fifth degree, you're not asked to How did your summer go? It's the kind of time when you can look at each other and just say, gee, it's good to see you. And in that moment, there is the encounter with the other, which reestablishes your understanding that you are a person of worth and value. Because sometimes we forget that. Sometimes the world will try to steal that from us, and it's not a matter of learning a new math formula, it's just remembering that you are loved, as was put into the backpack of our children. As adults, as we go into our lives, we sometimes forget and have to learn again. So that's a breakfast place. You may recognize that as the Sunset Grill. It's a place where I grow. Jesus encountered growth in a place called Tyre. Now, Tyre is way north. If you can see the Sea of Galilee there in the picture at the bottom, big blue thing, and then the arrow goes up to Tyre. You see, he's going way north into what every good Jew would know was Gentile territory. Jesus was a human being, and we have some notion that he was tired. It's the 7th chapter of Mark. In the 6th chapter of Mark, Jesus gathered his disciples together who were very excited because they had just gone out and they'd done a lot of healing and amazing things and teaching, and they came back together and Jesus said to them, let's go off to a quiet place and rest a while. And so they went, and there they met 5,000 hungry people who didn't leave them alone even to think. And what did he do? He fed them. And then he went on and he just finished a little confrontation with the Pharisees who were accusing him of being immoral for not keeping to the standards of his people, the Jews. And he faced them in that confrontation with his wisdom, but you have to have an understanding that he was tired. You see, I love our Christian faith. And at the center of it, and this I do believe, we understand that the Word became flesh, the eternal Word of God that was in the beginning at creation, helped to form the stars and the earth, that this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But for us, it wasn't a case of Athena springing fully grown from the head of Zeus, or Mithras coming fully grown out of a rock. This Word that became flesh was born vulnerably in a manger. We're told that he grew in wisdom and in stature, that he went to the temple, actually kind of ditched his parents and turned up there. That's depicted in one of our stained glass windows here in our Sunday school transept. And there he questioned teachers to learn and grow. Now, much of his learning and growing is hidden from us. We don't know a lot about 30 years of his life. He shows up beginning a ministry in Galilee. But he shows up still as a human being. And still we see today as someone who is growing. He was born into a Jewish family in a time when the barriers between Jew and Gentile were unsurpassable. The barriers between men and women were very strong. And he was tired, and he went into this unclean Gentile territory. And there he was confronted. And I like this image of the confrontation because the woman in the picture is dressed as a Greek. Now, I'm not sure really if Syrophoenicians would have been dressed as Greeks, but at the same time, they're definitely trying to indicate that she was a foreigner. and a single woman. And both were kind of improper to come before a man in public, especially a Jewish man. There she came and she fell before him. Now he would have been trained and understood that his role as a Jewish man was not to be dishonored in that way. Even perhaps he grew up with an understanding prophetically. Now there was always a place for the foreigner and the sojourner in the heart of Israel. But Jesus had a sense of his mission first to the Jew and then perhaps to the Greek. And he said what was probably at the time an aphorism, you should not cast the children's bread to the dogs. It's a very insulting thing to say. A lot of commentators have tried to, remedy it by saying, you know, the word dog here in the Greek actually means little cute dog. Oh, it was an insult. He's acting like a human being. And here a tired one who went to find a place where he could hide away for a while, it seems, and immediately she was knocking on his door asking him to heal her little daughter. But to his insult, this woman, and I compare her in some ways to Jacob at the Jabbok. You remember the story, Jacob in that tent in the evening, visited by some angel who seems, in fact, to have been the Lord, and wrestling all night with that presence. And as day broke, the angel trying to get away from him, saying, let me go, and I dislocated his hip, and Jacob hung on. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Almost as if Jacob knew something about God that God didn't know. And here this woman says to Jesus, I'm not going anywhere until you heal my daughter. She doesn't, sometimes she's turned into a proto-feminist. I think that's reading into this story because this woman doesn't say, I'm a human being, you have to treat me like one. She says, even the dogs get the crumbs under the children's table. And Jesus grows. Something opens in him. And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus, is unlike many of us, every chance he has to grow, he grows. And always in the direction of greater compassion, always in the direction of a wider boundary, always in the direction of a deeper humanity. And he grew. And he responded to this woman not as a dog under the table, but as a beloved child of God. That seemed to be a turning point. Because then, he got over the headlines, the Christ insults the Canaanite. That wouldn't have been a headline in those days. Some have used it that way now. But Jesus doesn't allow that baggage to hold him back. He went, he was in Tyre. It says he went to the Decapolis by way of Sidon. That makes no sense geographically, because Sidon, if you can see on this map, is at the very top of it. So he goes to the Decapolis by way of Sidon, which is down here. But what I think Mark is trying to tell us is that Jesus, from that moment, went deeper into Gentile territory. He didn't flee from the unclean. He embraced them. He went to this place called the Decapolis, which was also largely Gentile, and there he met this man who was born deaf. and had a speech impediment, which is another way of translating deaf and mute. And there's this very intimate encounter with this unclean man. He puts his fingers in his ears, and then he spits and puts the spit on the man's tongue. Very visceral. Remember, this man is, he's not a leper, but he is a Gentile. But Jesus has grown. And after this healing, Jesus goes on to feed 4,000. A lot of people, because we don't usually read Mark as a whole, a lot of people don't know that there was a feeding of 5,000 and then a feeding of 4,000, and that 4,000 happened in Gentile territory. I don't think Jesus was cast in a bad light in this passage. In some ways, it's so freeing for us. Isn't it nice to know that sometimes God is human? God, too, is tired and vulnerable. God can be cranky. But God never stops being God. And so we are free to be human and fallible and cranky and to recognize even in the midst of our tiredness that we can grow. That when we come ignorant or dispirited or depressed or grieving, there is an openness before us to grow deeper in love. It's a nice thing about that breakfast place, you know, the one we have been going to currently, we've been going to for about 10 years. And over that time, well, you get to know the waitresses and waiters, mostly waitresses. We pray before we eat. They know not to bring our food while we're praying. And we share good news with them. Now we're sharing more. This past Thursday, I saw, and I'm going to change their names, saw Rona. And I hadn't seen Rona for about 2 months. And we said, "Rona, where have you been? We've missed you." And she said, "Oh, I had a terrible fall. I broke my kneecap, I broke my nose, and I broke my elbow. It took a while." And we talked about her pain and her recovery. And I said, "So I guess from now on, there's no more skydiving." And then we talked to Lisa. And Lisa is going through a divorce right now. She came to us and she said, "You know, there are days where I just don't know who I am and I don't know whether I'm doing the right thing. Should I stay for my children?" And she told us of the times her husband abused her emotionally, things he would do. She didn't make his steak right. So he would go and get a can of red kidney beans and take it and walk off screaming and eat the can of cold kidney beans in front of the children. She said, "You know, my daughter is starting to remember all these things. She wouldn't talk about them before, but now she's saying, you know, that wasn't right that he did that." And we listened. And we grew, and she said, "Thank you for caring." And the coffee there, because there were some people in that restaurant who didn't get their refill on time. And that's because community was happening. And we need community, because we need to grow, because you look at this world and we see people in this world who are confronted with truths and facts, and instead of growing, they launch witch hunts to find out who it was that betrayed them. No, we need to grow. Thank goodness. Thank God we have a God who shows us how. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, thank you that sometimes the coffee gets cold while we listen and grow. In Jesus' name, amen.